I remember that time when I run into Larry. Every other word out of his mouth was a foul word of profanity. I mean, he was a foul guy. He'd been married a couple of times, and he was just a really rough, tough guy. He was about 50-something years old, and he'd been raised up for the first 10 years of his life in a Catholic church, and he hated Christians. He didn't want nothing to do with them, you know, because he'd see people who go to church and they'd do him wrong on a car deal on Monday morning, and he said, you know, them lousy thinking Christians, I don't want nothing to do with them. I don't want to be one of them, you know. He said, I ain't going to be a hypocrite. That morning that I met Larry, I shook hands with him and told him, I'm Thurman Scrivener, and how are you doing? And he said, well, I'm Larry. And I said, Larry, are you a Christian? Oh, no, I ain't no blankety-blank Christian, and I don't want to be one. I said, well, I'm going to pray for you, and you're going to get saved. I don't want you to pray for me. I don't want to be saved. I said, yeah, that's the devil talking out of your mouth, you know. And I said, I have complete power and authority over him. You ain't going to have a thing to say about this. I'm going to pray and take my authority, and I'm going to guarantee you're going to come into the kingdom of God and get saved. And this man walks off screaming, don't you pray for me. I don't want your blankety-blank prayers. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of the devil's strongholds that's blinding this man's mind. And then the next morning, I'm going back to work. Now's the time to start on my little chore of getting Larry saved. I went to the throne of grace, the third heaven. I praised and worshiped the King that I have the privilege to come into the throne room of God. I can come into the throne of grace in the third heaven, bold as a lion, 24/7, because I'm a son of God. We don't realize what we have in Jesus. We have everything. Thank you, Lord, that I'm your son. And when I come in and I say, thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, you look down and see who's talking. And you look down and you see me. And when you see me, who does he see? His son, Jesus, because he's in me. Oh, son, he says, welcome me in here this morning. Thank you for coming and praising me as God, your father. It's really me. I'm there, but he sees Jesus because Jesus is in me. Is that right? So that's the only reason I can go to the throne of grace 24/7 is because of Jesus. If I didn't have Jesus, can I get to the throne of grace? No way. There ain't no way I can get into that throne room except by the blood of my Savior. After I praised him and thanked him for a little while, I said, now then, Satan, you have to be subject to me. It is written in Luke 10, 19, and 20. I am commanding you to withdraw your wicked spirits off of Larry's mind and heart. You're blinding his mind with those foul spirits of hell and those wicked spirits in the heavenlies. I am commanding you in the name of Jesus to get your hands and your demons off of him and to stop blinding his mind. Now, how much authority and power do we have over the devil? Does he have to be subject to us? It is written. So in the name of Jesus, my weapons are not guns and knives. You can't hurt a spiritual being with guns and knives, but you can sure cut him asunder with the word of God, can't you? That's a double-edged sword that we carry. So I rebuked him and commanded him to get away. And so I now said, Father, I want to thank you for this wonderful promise in John 6:44. For people can't come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. And at the last day, I will raise them from the dead. Nobody can come until somebody's prayed for you. The Father wants to do, he wants to move. He wants to everybody on this earth to get saved, does he not? That's his goal. Why are they not getting saved? Because we're not praying. We're not exercising our weapons. We're not praying right. Some of us are pleading, oh God, please save my son. He's such a wicked kid. Oh God, if you don't do something, I guess he'll be in prison. Everything you just said is totally wrong. You don't ever pray like that. You use your authority and you pray what you want, not those bad things. Because if you say those bad things, my son's a lousy kid, he'll be in jail. That's what will happen to him. That's not the right kind of prayer. God can't do anything with that kind of prayer. You tell the Lord, I've kicked the devil out of him. Now, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to send the mighty Holy Spirit to begin to convict my son of sin. Bring the boy into the kingdom of God and gloriously save him and fill him with the Holy Ghost. Put the spirit of love, joy, and peace in him. Now then you pray the prayer God can answer. He can do something with that. And so I prayed those kind of prayers every day for 2 weeks for Larry. Every day. praise the Lord and thank the Lord for saving the man's soul. And about 2 weeks later, I'm out there at work one morning real early working on a computer program. He walks in with a cup of coffee about 6 o'clock in the morning and said, Thurman, are you busy? I said, I'm just working on a computer program. I said, come in, Larry. He come in and he said, can I sit here and drink my coffee and talk to you a minute? I said, sure. He said, where do you go to church? I said, I go to the First Baptist Church over in Justin. He said, what do you think about some preacher? And the preacher he mentioned had just fell sexual immorality. What a shame. I said, well, you know, I hate to say it, but yeah, he's a man. I said, he was deceived by the enemy. Although he's a preacher, he fell. But I said, you know, he repented, so God forgave him. And he said, well, what do you think about this? He named another big preacher here in the Metroplex that at the time was back about 90-something, I guess, 90, whatever, 3 or 4, 5, 6, somewhere. What do you think about this preacher? And he said, you know what he's done? I said, yeah, I know. You know, I mean, unfortunately. He had a great big church, you know, and he had used the money to build him vacation homes in Florida, and he had a yacht, and he had a jet, and he had everything, you know, and he used them for his own personal use and everything else. And I said, well, you know, God knows all that he's doing. And I said, you know, his ministry's falling apart now. I said, he's losing everything. I said, he was just fixing to build another great big church. They'd bought a huge piece of land there in Dallas to build it. And I said, it all fell apart. I said, God takes care of his own kids. I said, he's in charge of the church. He said, don't you think preachers just preach the word of God? Don't you think they just preach so they can be rich? I said, most preachers I know are far from rich. I said, you know, it's a shame how little money some churches give their pastors. I said, it's such a shame. But I said, no, I said, the thing about it is, I said, you know, you'll listen to the enemy, Larry, and he will deceive you and make you think these things. And I said, he'll keep you out of church and you'll never come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And then one day you'll die. I said, when you die, then the devil with his demons will come get you. And he'll say, you fool, I deceived you all these years. The price of salvation was paid and it was a free gift unto you. And I deceived you. And now then you're fixing to go to this godless hell and you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire with me. And Larry jumped up and nearly spilled his cup of coffee. And he said, I've heard that voice. He said, he ain't going to have me. I said, oh, yeah, he's going to have you if you don't make Jesus Lord of your life. He said, how do I do that? I felt led by the Spirit. I said, go by Walmart this morning on the way home. Get you a Bible, at least a New Testament, and start reading it. And I said, as you read it, you pray over it, and anytime you have a question, you call me and I'll help you answer the question. Well, it wasn't long. He got to Romans. Romans 10, 8 and 9. He called me. He said, Thurman, I found a place here in the Bible that says that if I will confess with my mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in my heart the Father raised him from the dead, I'll be saved. I'll be born again. I said, that's exactly right, Larry. That's what it says. He said, well, I want to do that. I said, are you very far from me? He said, no. I said, come down here. Man, he come running to my office in a little while. He drove down, come running there. He said, Thurman, it's written. That's what it says. He said, I ain't going to spend eternity in hell with that devil. He said, I want to go to heaven. I said, okay, yep, you found it. There it is. So I led him to Jesus, and he got saved. Totally changed his life. About 6 months later, one of the other guys that worked with Larry come to my office one day and said, Thurman, what you teach really works. I said, what do you mean? He said, I've known Larry for 10 years. He said, in those 10 years, I've never known him to speak one sentence without having several foul words of profanity in it. But he said, since you got him saved, that man has not spoken one foul word of profanity. How did I do that? Did I plead with God or did I use his weapons the way he told me to use them? I use these weapons that are available to you and me as Christians to get a man saved. Now then, lots of people out there are lost, are they not? Maybe some in your own family. And you've been praying for them, oh God, save them. Please, Lord, save my son. And you know what God's been saying to you? That's what I want to do. But did you not read who is blinding his man? The God of this world. How much power did I give you? All. Well, then why don't you kick the devil out of him and command him to get away from him? Then you ask me to convict the boy of sin and bring him into my kingdom. I'll save him. Now, isn't that amazing how simple that is? And When I learned that, man, I began to get people saved. I mean, I had never experienced such a powerful thing in my life. I have now learned when I pray, if I pray specifically for you, you no longer have a free will. Your free will just went out the window. Because when I pray for you, if it's scriptural, now I can't pray for something for you that's not scriptural. Like this one preacher come to me one time, I'd been teaching these kind of things, and it was in a Pentecostal church, and he said, Derman, he said, that's an awesome teaching you do there. He said, I want you to pray for me and my wife. I said, what do you want me to pray? He said, my wife's been giving me a lot of trouble and said, I want you to pray that she'll leave me and there's another woman in the church I want to be married to. I said, sir, that's not a scriptural prayer. I can't pray that. I'm telling you what, folks, we're pretty stupid. You know that? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that's not the will of God, right? God said he hates divorce. Is that what he said? The thing about it is, if you learn to pray like this, just like myself and Cheryl, when we first got married, there was things, I mean, you know, Cheryl hadn't been married in 24 years, and so I had not been married in 3 years, and so, I mean, there was things that I got used to doing that she didn't like, and so, you know, I'd rub her the wrong way, so she would go in and say, God, what am I supposed to do with this guy you gave me? And she'd grumble and complain, and she found out that didn't please God very well. He didn't like it at all when she come to him grumbling and complaining about the man that he gave her. So one day she was grumbling and complaining to the Lord, Lord, what am I going to do with this man that you gave me? And the Lord spoke to her audibly and said, Cheryl, just love him. That's what you're to do to him. Just love him. And of course, then she found out grumbling and complaining is not the way to get it done. So now then when I rub her wrong, if I do, hopefully I don't do it much, but when I do, she just goes to the Lord and says, Lord, well, Lord, I'm asking you to touch Thurman's heart and move on his heart and make him more like Jesus. So if he becomes more like Jesus, then he'll be easy for me to love. So is that true? Of course. And so then she said, then she adds this one little phrase at the end always, Lord, if I've done something wrong and you need to move on my heart, then change my heart too. Now see, if when you're willing to be changed yourself, that's a good sign.
You've been listening to Thurman Scribner of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled My Weapons Are the Word of God, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online, or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.